Let's pray as we begin. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, we praise you for giving us your word in the scriptures, the Bible, for making yourself known and speaking through them. Speak to us today. Teach us, we pray. Correct us. Rebuke us. Train us in living for you. Equip us, we pray, for every good work. And do this by the power of your Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Amen. So, at the top of the sheets, there's a space for a question if you want to write it in. It's on the screen there. Here's the question. God made me like this. How can you ask me to change? God made me like this. How can you ask me to change? It's a question that a gay person might ask their Christian friend. God made me like this. How can you ask me to change? So what can we say in response to that? Why are we as we are? What is God asking us to do? This is a tricky subject for us to look at today. The subject of real marriage, we're going to be talking about human sexuality, about being straight or gay. And it's a subject that might affect you very deeply personally, through yourself or through close friends or relatives. So it's going to be hard. And I can't cover everything. I can't answer every question in the time that I've got. So there may be issues left unanswered for you at the end. And so I do want to encourage you not to just leave it there if that's the case. Do get in touch. I suggest you don't do it over coffee. It might be embarrassing for you or me or somebody. So just ring me up or email me. The details, contact details are on the news sheet if you want to do that. Please do. There's been a change in the law in this country. On the 29th of March 2014, the first same-sex marriage took place in this country, in the United Kingdom. First same-sex marriage, 2 years ago. In the Church of England, the same law said that it's illegal for the Church of England to do same-sex marriages, still, at the moment. And that is the official doctrine of the Church of England as well. The biblical teaching that marriage is for one man and one woman in a lifelong exclusive relationship. That's still the official doctrine of the Church of England. And you can read that if you want to go and look at the canons. These are the law book of the Church of England. Canon B30 says, "The Church of England affirms, according to our Lord's teaching, that marriage is in its nature a union permanent and lifelong, for better, for worse, till death them do part, of one man with one woman, to the exclusion of all others on either side, for the procreation and nurture of children, for the hallowing and right direction of the natural instincts and affections, and for the mutual society, help and comfort which the one ought to have of the other, both in prosperity and adversity." So that's the official doctrine of the Church of England. It's Canon B30. It's a good biblical doctrine. Now, some people in the church want to change that, and they are already changing it in what they do in their churches. And this week, some bishops are meeting to work out what they're going to present to the General Synod, which is like a governing body of the Church of England, and whether they're going to ask the General Synod to change the official doctrine of the church, or at least its practice. This change in the law has come about because of a change in society. There's a change in our society. And the Christian biblical view of marriage and sex that Canon B30 speaks about, many people around us, maybe people in your family, and especially younger people, they see it as outdated, completely out of touch, offensive even. Maybe you are, or maybe you know someone who is attracted to people of the same sex as themselves. Maybe you're that person. There's been a change in society and in the law, but what does God say about that through the Bible? Why are you as you are? What does God want? Before we charge into this, I want to point out one thing as we look at it, and that's this. We're all tax collectors. I didn't print Luke 18, but I'm going to read it to you. Jesus told this parable, a story. Here it comes. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisees were a religious group, did everything to try and get themselves right with God. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, said Jesus, that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. That's right with God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. For years, we Christians have been the Pharisees, haven't we? We've been standing there going, God, I thank you that I'm not like those other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, homosexuals. And we've been standing there in our self-righteousness, doing immense harm. Not loving people, not caring for them, not considering their needs, their thoughts and feelings. It's been very painful for people from that community. And we need to know and we need to realise that we're tax collectors. If we want to come to Christ, if we want to know his forgiveness, the only way we can stand before God is with our heads bowed and beating our breasts saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. None of us is right with God. All of us need Jesus' death on the cross. So when we see another sinner, how do we respond? With love and humility. Because we're sinners too. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We're tax collectors. Have we been Pharisees? Yes, we probably have. Probably looked down on other people or said nasty things, been horrible to them. So some repentance is needed, isn't it? And we need not to do that again. And so as we look at this subject together, we need to do it from the perspective of being sinners together. Only forgiven by Jesus. Tax collectors. So, those two questions. Why are we as we are? And what does God want? Let's reverse them. Start with what does God want. Then look at why are we as we are. Then we'll come back to what God wants at the end. So, what does God want? He wants us to find our identity in Jesus Christ, becoming a new creation by faith in him. He wants us to find our identity in Jesus Christ, becoming a new creation by faith in him. Well, what does identity mean? Well, people say, don't they? People say, I'm gay. It's who I am. I'm straight. It's who I am. I'm married. I'm single. I'm this and that. That's who I am. It's identity. Who you are. The nature of your being. And the Bible says it's not about sex. It's not about your preferences. It's not about your habits or desires or your status in one way or another. That is not your identity. And God calls us to find our identity in Jesus. We've been looking at Galatians, haven't we, in our previous sermon series. And we got to chapter 3. And on our way, one of the high points was chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's got a new identity, and we have that new identity if we trust in Jesus. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says a similar thing. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. In fact, it's even more forceful in the original language. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. New creation. Only once, I repeated it. If anyone's in Christ, new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. It's brilliant. When I was a teenager, my school didn't have a sixth form. And so I had to go off to somewhere else for my sixth form. And I went to a sixth form college. And the great thing about the sixth form college was only a handful of friends came with me from school, so I could start again. I could have a new identity at sixth form college. I could be a different David. And God calls us to start again with Jesus, to have a new identity, to be a different me and you. He calls us to be a new creation, become a new creation by faith in Jesus. And that's what God wants us to be. All of us in our old self, the self that we're born with and live with and die with if we don't come to Jesus, in that old self, we aren't what Jesus wants, what God wants. We're by nature rebellious against him. We want to go our way, not his. We're self-centered, so we put ourselves first above any other people. And we're tarnished because of the way that we've lived and behaved and the things we do and think. Tarnished before ourselves and before other people, but most importantly before God, who is holy and perfect. And the whole point of Jesus coming, which we celebrate at Christmas and throughout the year, was the rescue mission to bring us a new identity, a new self, loved by God, redeemed by God, the price paid for to remove everything that's wrong, recreated, made eternal, a new creation in him. How did Jesus do that? Through the cross, when he died. And as he died on the cross, he took on himself everything that makes us tarnished before God, everything of our old self that cuts us off from God. And as he took it on himself, it cut him off from God, his Father, the Son, cut off from the Father through Jesus' death. And that was the power and the sacrifice that means that we can say, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. New creation. The old is gone. The new is here. What does God want? For us to find our identity in Jesus Christ, becoming a new creation by faith in him. Well, David, what has that got to do with my sexuality? If God has made me like this, how can he ask me to change? But let's ask that other question. Why are we as we are? And the answer is that God's good creation is broken. Sex and marriage are part of God's good creation. If you go back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, where we're told about how God made the world. In chapter 2, we hear about Adam and Eve, how he made people, the first humans. And the end of that chapter concludes with Genesis 2:24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. That is why a man leaves his father and mother, is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now Jesus picks up those very words and teaches about marriage using those words in Mark 10. He says this, he's speaking, he's been asked about divorce, and he talks about marriage. He says, at the beginning of creation, God, and he quotes here from Genesis 1, made them male and female. And he quotes from Genesis 2, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's that reading I just read from Genesis 2. So they're no longer two, says Jesus, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So whatever you think of Adam and Eve, Jesus endorses God's design for marriage from Genesis 2. And let me just say that I think that Adam and Eve are supposed to be seen as historical. But whatever you think, there is God's design taken up and endorsed by Jesus. What does one flesh mean? He said that twice there, didn't he? The two will become one flesh, so they're no longer two, but one flesh. What does that mean? It means that husband and wife, man and woman, become one new person through what God is doing. One new person together in God's sight. How does that happen? Through what the marriage service describes as the delight and tenderness of sexual union and joyful commitment to the end of their lives. The delight and tenderness of sexual union and joyful commitment to the end of their lives. It's the most embarrassing moment in the wedding service for me. When I'm taking a wedding service, you read out this thing called the preface at the beginning. It explains marriage, the biblical view of marriage. And those words are in it. And I go stand there with everyone looking all beautiful and wonderful. The delight and tenderness of sexual union. Blurt it out. But it's there and it's wonderful, isn't it? This one flesh is God's design for marriage. It's God's design for sex. It's the same thing. So that leaves us with two really good ways to live. Two ways God has created that are in his good creation. Two ways to express our sexuality. Number one, live as a single celibate person. Celibate means you're not having sex with anyone in any way. Live as a single celibate person, with friendships with many people that are non-sexual in nature. This is part of God's creation. It's a great way of living under God. He's made this so that people can live like that. And here's the second way. Live as a person married to someone of the opposite sex as they were born, in a lifelong exclusive public union called marriage. This is the opposite sex marriage way of living. And again, it's part of God's creation. It's a wonderful way to live. It's something God has created as good. So two good ways God has created to live. Celibate, single person, opposite sex marriage. So, sex and marriage are part of God's good creation. But in the Bible we see as well that all of creation is damaged by sin. So God's good creation is broken. Genesis 3 comes after Genesis 2, and in that chapter it all goes wrong. And God brings his judgment on not just the human race, but the whole creation. And because of what's gone wrong, he puts the whole creation out of kilter. It's all damaged, it's all broken. Our relationships with God are damaged. Relationships with other people are broken. With our creation, it's damaged. So in the New Testament, you see it in all sorts of ways, but in Romans 8, on the screen, not on the sheet, so I apologise for that. In Romans 8:22, Paul talks about the creation groaning. He says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time." It's broken. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, in other words, we're trusting in Jesus, God the Holy Spirit has begun to live with us, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So the creation is moaning, we're moaning, because everything's broken. God's good creation is damaged by sin. That's why we're not as we should be. We don't think God's ways. Our bodies don't work God's ways. Even our sexual desires are broken. So it's not God has made me like this, but God has allowed me to be like this in this messed up creation. It's very important to see that. Not God has made me like this, but God has allowed me to be like this in this messed up creation. And when you stop and think about it, that doesn't just apply to sexuality, does it? It applies to all sorts of things. But how does that leave us with the two good ways of living, celibate or opposite sex marriage? Well, what about sex with someone you're not married to? What about sex with someone you're not married to? Where does that fit in with God's design? It doesn't, does it? It's not there. This is not God's plan for us as human beings. Did you know that Merton Borough has some of the highest levels of adultery in London? It's according to a survey by a very dubious sounding website that was published in the Women's Guardian this week. I didn't go to the website. It's not what God wants. It's not what God wants. What does it mean about people living together? In other words, a couple cohabiting, being in the same house and maybe having children, having sex, but not being married. It's not there, is it? It's not in God's design. And perhaps we've really just shrugged our shoulders about that as a church. We haven't made much noise about it, have we? We just said, oh, well, it's going to happen. They're all doing it anyway. It's not what God wants. What about someone who has sexual relations with someone of the same sex? It's not in God's design, is it? It's not part of God's plan. And so what they call gay marriage is wrong. It's not what God wants. What about someone who's been happily married for years? Isn't that the pinnacle of what we as a society want? Isn't that emblazoned as something to aim for? Isn't that where satisfaction and good things are going to come? Well, even that is coloured by brokenness and imperfection, isn't it? And if you've been married for years, you know that. And that brokenness and imperfection is not what God wants. Don't be fooled by the claim that marriage is perfection. God's good creation is broken. So what do we do in all this mess? What does God want? What does God want? He wants us to find our identity in Jesus Christ, to become and live as a new creation by faith in him. God wants us to know that he loves us. He's done all we need to be rescued and redeemed and recreated through what Jesus has done on the cross. God wants us to be ready to live his ways. Going back to that passage we had read earlier from 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God? If you've been a tax collector and turned to Jesus, that's true for you. Your body is where God the Holy Spirit lives. God is with you. If you've received Jesus, you're redeemed. You've got a new identity. Christ with you by the Holy Spirit. So how will you live? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you receive from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. You become and live as a new creation by faith in Jesus. What does that mean in practice? Well, what about someone who is same-sex attracted? Does it mean that we're saying you've got to be converted, you've got to marry someone of the opposite sex and be normal, put that in inverted commas if you're listening? No, not at all. God's call is for you to live as a single celibate person. That's one of God's great parts of his creation, that we can be a single celibate person, and that's a wonderful part of his creation. It might be that things will change for you, and some people have gone on to have a change in the way they think and how they're attracted. But to live as a single celibate person isn't easy, is it? No, that's hard. And God gives us his Holy Spirit. Do you not know? Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you've received from God. If you're attracted to people of the same sex and you're called to live this single celibate life, then you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You also need the help of a loving church community that's accepting that we can be that community. What about if you're living together as a straight couple? What does this teaching mean for you? Each one of you has got to move out, doesn't it? Or get married tomorrow. Actually, I can do it in 4 weeks. I don't have Christmas. I'm sure we can move things around. Honestly, I'd need 3 weeks to read the banns, and we could marry on the fourth week. Don't worry about the £15,000, £20,000 you're trying to save. Really, that is just to honour people, isn't it? We can honour God with a wedding 4 weeks' time. What about if you're a Christian? And you find out that another Christian, someone who believes in Jesus and trusts in him, in your church, maybe sits next to you in the pew, is same-sex attracted. And they're single and celibate. What about then? How do you feel about that person? Is that a shock? Like you, that person is a new creation. Like you, they're a tax collector. God have mercy on me, a sinner. Like you, they're bought at a price. They're not their own. Got a new identity with Jesus. Like you, they're loved by God. One of God's family. What if you're gay and you want to have a same-sex partner and marry them? You would be going deliberately against what God wants and what he's revealed to us through his word. It would be the wrong thing to do, and I counsel you to repent and trust Jesus to be all you need. Find your identity in him and your help in God the Holy Spirit. So there has been a change in our society. And God still reaches out through the Lord Jesus Christ with love to everybody. His good creation is broken. And we know that. We see it in our lives. We see it all around us. It's broken in our sexual expression. But God calls us to find our identity in Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, to become and to live as a new creation by faith in him. Let's pray. A moment of quiet to bring our own thoughts before the Lord. Lord, you see each one of us here, and you know our hearts and our feelings, and you love us. We praise you for that. Thank you that if we're in Christ, new creation, and you know the pain and the sorrow that being in this broken creation is. And we pray for your help. And we pray for your strength. And for a sense of the wonder of the identity, the new identity you give us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And for any who need to change, Lord, for your help and empowering for them to do that. And for those of us who are Pharisees still, Lord, that you would bring us to repentance and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Do get in touch if this has raised issues that you want help with and want to talk about.